T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Guidance is internal. Ignition sequence starts. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Permission to board, please.
Permission to come aboard.
Permission to board.
Permission to board.
Do I have some permission to board that sweet mothership?
This is the Permission Granted podcast. Here's DA.
Welcome inside the Permission Granted podcast, everybody. The show about the show within the show. As always, you can download this on its own Apple podcast feed. Just search Permission Granted. Also, you can go to the DA Show Apple podcast feed or anywhere really that podcasts are downloaded. Search Permission Granted or the DA Show. You'll get them both there. Also, go to our website, cbssportsradio.com. This week, Mraz is out. He is on paternity leave, so that has left the regular crew being myself, Pete the Body, and Andrew Bogish. Bogish, however, has taken off the end of the week, and that means that Brad Heller has slid into the updates role. So Brad will join us on side B of the PGP. But on the front side, the side A, Pete the Body's going to be here with me. Pete the Body, good morning.
Hi. Hi, DA.
Good to see you, buddy. And also sliding in for Mraz this week has been young diaper D-alien Sam Rubinoff. Sam, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, man. You were just saying as we signed on here that Sam's been doing a good job
this
week.
Sam's a hustler. It's very hard in this business now, especially now with how things get cut and things get condensed, to get people in here.
Staffing-wise,
that have the heart and the desire and are still hustling. And Sam hustles. He's doing a good job for us. And we always looked at him in high regard.
Yes.
From when he came, started, and to now. So he's doing a very good job as a producer this week.
I want to get into some of the backbiting that's happened with Mraz and other producers. I want to get into Sam's early returns, how he feels about doing the show. But I want to start with Sheila in the Bay Area. Because Sheila in the Bay Area led off our Tuesday show, right?
Yes, she did.
And I don't remember Sheila from the overnight days. She was calling from KNBR, I believe, in the Bay Area. And Mraz said, you know, he texted me after he'd heard that on the podcast or whatever. And he's like, oh, Sheila was an old caller. I was like, I don't remember Sheila ever calling. Is like, oh, no, we had her call in before. She was a peach. Was she amazing?
I feel like it was a staged call. That's how unique and eccentric she was. She was just in. She was into the Raiders. Well, into Kenny Stabler.
Into Kenny Stabler.
Yeah. And I don't remember anything to do with someone named Sheila from the overnight. I mean, I wasn't working in the overnight with you guys, but we came across each other when, you know, Tiki and Tierney were in the mornings and whatnot.
Yeah.
But she was just, she had a lot to say and wants to be in the Hall of Fame.
She is amazing. I want to play a little clip of Sheila right now so that you guys who didn't hear her can hear it.
Sports What's your radio. Name?
My name's D.A. That's my initials, D.A. It stands
DA,
for
Damon. District Attorney?
Damon Amendolara is my full name, but yes.
De kind of like Espanol?
District, actually Italian, so
oh, un poquito I've been to Espanol. Italy. Yeah, I was in Italy.
I know. They seem like my type of people.
Yeah, they are. Are they?
Yeah, they do.
What is your nickname, then?
In the Black Hole?
No. Oh, you're in the Black Hole?
No, I'm just saying, are you asking me who my nickname is if I was in the Black Hole?
Yeah.
Does it have to be like something dangerous?
Marilyn Monroe, number 2? No.
Did you ever date Ken Stabler?
No. He would never date me because he came from Alabama and I come from Hayward, California. I tried to.
Okay.
When I found out that he was 2 months and 4 days older than me, yes, I did try to date him. I have 2 dolls, though. If you take it off the air because I don't work the computer, I'd like to send you a picture of my 2 Stabler dolls. One's the Saints and the other's a Raider.
All right, so that's the amazing Sheila in the Bay Area. And, Sam, you answered the phone on Sheila. Did you know how crazy she was going to be?
It was a trash Tuesday, and she came in, I guess now thinking back on it, she didn't necessarily know what trash Tuesday was, okay. But she came in upset that the Raiders were not going to allow the black hole in Vegas. So I'm like, all right, this is perfect. Great Trash Tuesday. Someone who's up at 3 o'clock in the morning going to get us a great start to the morning. So I'm thinking, all right. And then she started rambling. I'm like, all right, let me get you up. So I'm like, now thinking
slow
about
down
it.
There, Sheila.
And I'm like,
slow
all right,
down.
Come on, Sheila, save your take. And then, but the Brady stuff that came out of nowhere. And then
she hated Tom Brady.
The Kenny Stabler stuff came out of nowhere. I thought we were getting to no black hole in Vegas, which isn't
she
true.
She kind of got to.
Not also much, kind though. Of made up because the black hole is invited to Vegas to keep the tradition going. So, but it kind of worked. It was a little kooky morning call, but I didn't see what we got coming.
It was perfect.
Now, does she know she was calling a morning show? Because she was in
no.
the clouds on that.
Well, she also asked me my name.
She called you before, apparently.
She called me before, apparently. I don't remember it, but she was 6 minutes into her take. Then she finally said, who am I talking to? What's your name? So she called a radio show without knowing who the radio host was to get something off of her chest. And then it was embroiled in the conversation for so long that she even didn't care who she was talking to.
She was so intent on talking about Kenny Stabler and his chin strap and just kept going filibustering, going on and on and on. But it just made for radio gold. I mean, I look usually after the show. I go and I take a look at everything we've done. I'll circle things. I'll mark things. Something Mraz said or didn't say or whatnot or something I said. And I'll mark it in for our drops, the clever bits of audio that we drop in every day.
Yeah.
And I went through the folder yesterday. We had about 12 Sheila. 12 Sheila
drops. From one phone call.
And we started that segment talking about Philip Rivers. And it went into that. I was just... It was amazing. We got back from the break thinking, oh, we're going to get some Philip Rivers tweets and whatnot. We got Sheila tweets.
Yeah, Sheila tweets.
It just sparked a lot of emotion from our fans.
And I said, did you ever date Ken Stabler? She said, I tried, but he wouldn't date me because I was from California. He was from Alabama or Louisiana or something. And I'm like, that doesn't sound right.
I like to see the exchange when that was about to take place.
Maybe that's what he told Sheila. I can't date somebody from California, but there was clearly a different reason.
He's running out of the locker room as she's chasing him.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, exactly. Because my guess is he dated people from just about everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
He was the snake.
Big time quarterback at the time. You're going to be involved in a lot of that
stuff. And a big time nightlife guy.
Oh, yeah. You got a party.
Yeah,
a lot of party, especially with Al Davis around.
Yes. So, Sam, now you've produced 3 shows for us in the morning, but you produced shows for us when we were doing the mid-mornings, 9 to noon Eastern.
Yeah, I did a couple of those mid-morning shows, fill in here and there, maybe once a week if Mraz had to take a day off, but nothing where I was in for a full week. And now this is my first, what would be 4 days coming up on the morning show.
And how's the experience been?
I mean, I like it a lot. I like working on your show more than I would say any other show. Just because I feel I've gotten to know the show a lot better because I fill in for Kaplan.
Right,
as
you do
well
the Watch
too.
The Ace so simulcast quite a bit.
Yeah, so it helped that I started to really learn the show doing that, watching it. And then I filled in a bunch on the board when we were mid-mornings. And now here on the morning show, I like the extra hour. It gives us another hour to keep talking, to expanding on things. And we don't have to necessarily fit in segments and make them too small to try and fit everything in. We don't have time to expand upon everything. And I don't know if this is on purpose or not, but there's no more cut line because we really don't need a cut line anymore because we can get everything in.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's what I like about Sam is that he knows that there's a reason for every segment. We have something prepared for every segment. And so if we need audio pulled from a previous interview, audio cut from something that's online, something set up from earlier in the show, a stat, a story or something. I think Sam has been very, very good at all 3 of these days saying, what do we need here? Let's get you that.
He's the example of thinking ahead. I tell a lot of these guys that come in that fill in for us and fill in on our show, and just in general, filling in across the network, thinking ahead is very key because you have to anticipate where the host is going to go, what the host might need moving forward. And Sam is on top of that with cuts and highlights. I'll always ask the segment before, hey, what are we doing here with the cut? He'll have one ready. And that's how it should be. And he adapted to it very fast too. I mean, I don't know. I think it's been like a year and a half you've been here.
Yeah.
And that's quick.
So, I mean, not to take shots that are unwarranted, but I mean, the flip side is Mraz doesn't often do that. Mraz does not often think ahead. Would you? I think that's a fair critique.
Well, yeah, I think Mraz is very in the moment.
Yeah,
very in the moment. Right. I think that's the part of the appeal to Sean. It could be a very erratic in the moment.
Yes,
but that's where his bread and butter is. It's not so much, you know, thinking ahead into the
planning, organizing.
It's a jumbled. It's a jambalaya, I would say, of thoughts and information and just food.
So because on last Friday, he got his 11-10 on the SAT. He was starting to gloat and he was starting to feel himself. So he started calling out all the other producers, and he called them all overrated and this and that, grouchy.
Now I agree with him on one of them. I did agree with him on one of them, but it was unjust for everybody.
And so we've invited some of those producers on the show this week to have their moment, their platform. So let's go through this. We start with Anthony Pierno, AP.
MVP.
Who took down Mraz in a big way on Tuesday by reenacting Mraz's epic Pat Shermer rant and basically saying, you want a doofus? I could play a doofus too. I mean, how do we grade out AP's takedown?
Oh, it's A+. That's an A+. I said this to you during the show or it was off the air. He's an untapped talent, I feel.
Uh-huh.
Anthony Pierno, he does the sports minutes. He does the weekends, and now they've taken away his board op, so he does it all by himself.
So he's producing and board opping.
Yeah, I mean,
he's not happy about because he thinks maybe Mraz caused that by giving Mraz a raise.
I couldn't go into semantics on that, but he could have a point. I don't know, but... He's a guy that's behind the scenes, and you view him behind the scenes a lot because that's, you know, he's not really on the air. He does some anchoring, but when he submitted tapes for anchoring,
which is the sports updates,
I was like, let's give him a shot. Let's get him going. And we try to do it every month where he's at least anchoring once too. So his takedown on Mraz was A+. He was on the game. He knew it was a lot of frustration. You could tell.
Yeah.
8 years of like frustration that he's able to get out there. It was a cleansing for AP. And I feel good for him.
I do too. I want to play a little bit of AP right now.
I mean, I could easily go on a rant about Adam Gase. I mean, why did the Jets hire Adam Gase? He was supposed to be this offensive innovator. He was supposed to make Sam Darnold the franchise QB. What happened? His biggest accomplishment this past year, he became an internet meme. Did you see his eyes during his introductory press conference rolling all over the place? It looked like he was on drugs. What has Adam Gase done? Another wasted season. 7-9. 9 straight years without the playoffs. And he's ruining Sam Darnold. Offensive genius. My ass. My big fat ass.
So, I mean, AP was just killing us with this. It was so, so good. I don't want, Sam, you as a young guy to have to rip Mraz because that's not comfortable for you, and you respect the guys that have been here for a while. But I will ask you, were you at all surprised that AP had such fervor behind ripping Mraz?
No, that didn't really surprise me at all.
No.
I see why people have that reaction. I mean, even on days where I've board opped when Pete's out and Sean's in, and he starts getting going on something, he'll turn off his mic, and there were a couple of times early on I kind of looked over at him and I was about to say, like, hey, maybe that's not correct. But, you know...
like a rant that would be factually inaccurate?
I can't think of the example, but
you'd know, like, that's not right.
Right, just something that I'd be like, that's not right. Should I stop him? And then I'd look in, I'm like, no, I can't stop him. Let's roll with it. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Let's keep this going. So I definitely understand where everyone gets their... Mm-hmm. Kind of rage towards Mraz.
Well, that's the beauty of it, too. And that also leads to drops, leads to about 10,000 of them that we have in a folder of things where he hasn't thought ahead.
You're the buffoon.
Right. 18 and 19.
Yeah.
You're the buffoon.
So then we had Mike Samter on, who directly was called overrated by Mraz on Friday's show. And he's the producer of Tiki and Tierney. Then he joined us, and he tore to shreds Mraz, called him garbage and trash, and his booking terrible. Let's listen to a little bit of Samter right here.
Could anyone else do his job? Of course, anyone else a trained monkey can do his job. My dog, who's sitting here licking the floor right now, could do his job. Because, D.A., I've heard you when you fill in for, you know, back in the day with Gottlieb and Jim Rome. And Marash doesn't really pop in that much, because usually you have D-Cell or Seglia or even myself filling in for you, and you're so much better when you don't have a clown interjecting himself into the conversation. You can just sit there and talk and be you, because at the end of the day, it is the D.A. show. It's not the D.A. and Marash show. Like, even Stugatz has his name a little bit on Levitard's show. Marash's name isn't even on there. He just likes to throw himself in there to add whatever kind of comical nonsense he wants to your show. At the end of the day, man, you're better without him. Whether you even need a producer, it's really more just for booking guests and coordinating some ideas, but those ideas aren't coming from Marash, they're coming from you. You're a smart guy. So I don't know what Marash really adds to the conversation.
So, Pete, having heard Mike Samter, who do you think was more authentically angry at Mraz?
AP. I thought Samter presented it in the corporate form.
Uh-huh.
I thought the layout he had was more of a corporate type view of everything.
Uh-huh.
I think that AP was just coming from the heart. He wrote some stuff down, but then after that, it was all systems go. AP was more authentic in his retort.
Sam, as an unbiased observer, do you think any other producers resent anybody else besides Mraz from what you've seen or heard around the building?
I don't honestly think I can say that anyone necessarily resents anyone else. I know people get frustrated with everyone now and again just because you're in this tight environment every day, but I don't think people get frustrated like they do with Mraz because, you know, no one else kind of walks around chest out going, hey, look at me, look at my 11-10.
Which is a fraudulent 11-10.
You know, it's a big fraud. I said it that day, and I knew it, and exactly proved my point when we rescored that test. I think also people have a soft spot for Mraz. I think people know he's like not the jolly green giant, but like the jolly overweight guy.
Jolly big guy
who likes sports, who likes eating, who likes watching sports and eating at the same time. And I think people just like that personality, but he doesn't know when to stop. He doesn't know when it's like, all right, that's it. You don't have to keep gloating about your 11-10. You know, take a lap.
Well, yeah, and look, I don't think it's a stretch to say that every producer here works as hard or harder than him. I mean, he's certainly not seen as the hardest worker.
No, he's not going to be on the top 10 list.
I mean, I would say that out of all of the producers here, he's seen as a bottom third work ethic guy.
Yeah.
It's probably fair, right?
Yeah, I would say that's fair.
So what I see is these guys are all going, we all work as hard or harder than you. You're not seen as one of the grinders around here. And you puff out your chest. And
the
you like
sore winner.
And you like to shove it in people's faces. Right. And you're going to call me out on the radio? Well, now the gloves are off.
I think because he's a sore winner, it makes it puts everything else into focus.
Right.
I think if he had, like this week, if he had just responded, if he had just held off on Twitter and not responded to anything that was happening this week and came back next week, you don't think about the other stuff. I think because he so wants to be out in front and so wants to brag or complain, I think that causes everything else to be.
Well, and when he calls himself a locker room leader, wears that badge, and then he throws everybody publicly under the bus.
Everyone can't do his job. He should, I mean, I look at it this way. Like, look, him and I, you know, we know this business. You know this business very well. We can all be replaced at some point.
Very easily.
It's just how it is. And you can't think about, I mean, in your heart, you know that you are talented enough to where it's going to be hard for someone to replace me, but it can happen.
It can be done and it will be done.
Yeah. So there has to be some humility, I think, on that regard.
He doesn't have any of that.
He's very brash with it. And I think that sometimes it helps him. I mean, his brashness sometimes helps him, but a lot of times he'll get the looks from the staff.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Sam, it's been a good week having you in, buddy. It's been fun working with you. You filled in seamlessly.
Well, thank you. It's been fun. It's been a lot of fun. It's good to be able to be more a part of the show, because I love what Cap does. I love being on Watch DA, but you don't get to be in the studio. You don't get to be in there with the microphone in front of you. So if something comes up like another wild incident in the state of Florida, I can add a little something to it.
I was going to say, it has helped to have a native Floridian in this week because, you know, Stunned to a Noose is basically Florida every day.
Right. It's like bringing in Jim Cantore to talk about the weather. He's talking about Florida.
He's the expert.
Yes.
Very good. All right. That was Side A. Here comes Side B with the dessert coordinator. All right. Time now for Side B of the PGP. Joining us here on the show, a triumphant return, the one and only dessert coordinator, Brad Heller, who is filling in these last 2 days for Andrew Bogish. Heller, good morning.
Good morning, DA. What's going on? It's been a while, I feel like.
It has been a while. And this is the first time of you doing your updates for our new time slot. So, what's the new format work for you? Because it used to be consolidated music bed. You knew when to be in and out, timed. Now it's free floating. You can go as long as you want. You and I interact in between. The rest of the guys jump in. Were you comfortable with that?
Yeah, it definitely gives you a little more freedom. I mean, to have the self-contained, like, oh, it's exactly a minute and 40 seconds. It's one thing to be contained to that time, which is a challenge. But you also know, yeah, it's at the top of the hour, at the bottom of the hour, because when I do cover for Bogish, I'm doing a couple stations at once. So in terms of getting the routine set, top and bottom of the hour, you know where you have to be and when. So the floating thing makes it just getting used to the routine. This is day one. But to have that freedom to interact with you guys and just being able to, you know, once we get into the flow, finding some interesting stories or mispronouncing names,
yes,
that allows us to then have fun with it for the rest of the day or the year.
How did you pronounce the Fighting Illini?
Illini, which I don't think I've ever said that ever in my life.
And you're a huge college sports fan,
yeah,
so you know how to pronounce the Fighting Illini.
And I've said it probably, and I wanted to go to Illinois. I had an Illini hat growing up.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why. Something about, maybe because I think it was the fact that they played in Champaign, and that's where the school is.
Well,
something,
yeah,
about,
okay,
that got my attention.
Yeah.
You know, when like Happy Valley for Penn State. I was like, Champaign, that's amazing. I want to live there.
Little did you realize that Champaign, Illinois is the farthest thing from what you would imagine Champaign representing.
Well, as soon as I randomly knew someone that went there, and they're like, yeah, it's about a 3-hour drive from Chicago. I'm like, what?
In the middle of nowhere,
exactly,
with nothing going on.
Yeah, let me just drive 3 hours to Syracuse and do that instead.
There
same school colors and everything.
There is nothing Champaign-y about Champaign,
exactly,
Illinois.
Exactly.
So, Illinois, you said. And then if that happens in a normal update with music and it's constrained, we can't joke about that.
No, and then I think it would just throw everything off. You have this set amount of time where you react, correct it, and then you got to move on. And the next thing you know, it's like, the update's over, and maybe you get cut off or something. So this at least allowed me to react to it in real time and have a little fun with it.
And within seconds, Bilotti had the drop ready to go.
I mean, if it wasn't the epic fail, it was certainly probably the runner-up.
Had it happened earlier in the morning, it probably could have been the epic fail.
Yeah.
We already had Anthony Pierno from yesterday,
okay,
queued up because the takedown of Mraz was epic. What'd you think about Stunned to a Noose, how that works at the end of an update, you toss to the open, and then we have a non-sports story today. You found a great one. It was River Otter attacks bulldog in yard. Woman picks up River Otter by tail, throws it out of the house.
And celebrates triumphantly.
Yeah, like a touchdown dance.
Right. I think it's a great little... Well, first of all, I wasn't sure what the intro was going to be. Pete the Body was like, just throw the intro. I'm like, all right, I'm wondering what the intro is, because I didn't know where the title of the segment came from. And then of course, you hear Mraz. I'm like, okay,
right,
now I get it. Because I wasn't even sure how to pronounce what the actual segment was. I didn't have to say it. But then when you hear Mraz, you're like, yep, that sounds about right.
Right, well, it's grammatically very incorrect.
Right.
Stunned to a news.
Yeah, because I even like typed it in. I'm like, just to know where it was in my list of scripts. And I'm like, stunted to a... What am I stunting to? And then when Mraz said it, I'm like, that's what it is.
Yes.
That's what it is. So I like the idea of finding, and because you had said to me about dessert stories, I'm like, well, wait a minute. If the freedom is, as long as, if the only guideline is non-sports,
yeah,
I'm like, well, here we go.
Yeah.
You know? So now I have time And with some advance notice and now the idea of what I'm looking for, I can, you know, certainly dive into the dessert category and see what we can come up with. At least one this week, hopefully.
Yeah, that'd be nice. As dessert coordinator with Valentine's Day coming up on Friday, what do you consider the best Valentine's-themed dessert?
Well, full disclosure, Valentine's Day is also my half birthday.
Oh.
So I've played that up. We could do a whole segment on that. Sorry, PGP listeners.
You actually get away with playing that off to the girlfriend? She actually buys into that?
Buy-in is a strong...
Okay.
It's a strong phrase. But it is known, I mean, because half birthday is Valentine's Day, means my summer, my regular birthday is a summer thing. So in school, it always got overlooked. You know, all summer birthdays. This goes back. This kind of digs deep if we're going to really...
So you're August 14th.
August 14th. And in my school growing up, summer birthdays were all celebrated on the same day. And I'm like...
When would you celebrate it?
Like the last day of school.
The last
day
of school? Oh, wow.
Yeah, so everybody in the class with a summer birthday would all be celebrated on like June 21st or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait a minute. I want my own day.
Yeah.
I want to be able to walk around to the school and pass out my dessert to other classes.
So this is where you adopted the half birthday.
Absolutely. And also, too, it became, well, wait a minute. You know, all those years of being single, like, well, not everybody... has reason to celebrate Valentine's Day, but everybody can celebrate my half birthday.
Okay.
So you play it up enough, you start getting dessert from family,
so your single days, you would say, forget Valentine's Day, screw that, it's my half birthday, I'm celebrating.
It was a cliche Facebook post every year on February 14th.
And you would get desserts out of it. You would get candies and gifts.
I mean, I would. My mom would play it up for sure.
Amazing.
You know, the cookie cake. You can't go wrong with a Valentine's Day themed cookie cake with the icing and heart shape.
That's true. Know? So is your girlfriend going to play into the half birthday on Friday?
I think sarcastically she will.
Okay.
But knowing deep down, like let's, you know, be real about what the real holiday is. So I have to at least she'll play along on the half birthday side as long as I, you know, play along on the Valentine's Day side.
I was going to say red velvet cake. Is that a Valentine's Day dessert?
For sure. I mean, it's
to think of pinks and reds and whites.
You know, you can't go wrong with, yeah, and that's the thing, all these candies now, too. Like, you know, M&Ms have the pink and white M&Ms. So it's almost like any candy or any dessert you can find, you know, whether it is red velvet or just... Everything seems to be red and white themed now. So, or if not, like Reese's peanut butter cups are now heart shaped. You know, these companies get it.
I wonder if making candy is now much cheaper than ever before, because probably it would have been difficult to turn around just a Valentine's Day themed Reese's peanut butter cup like 20 years ago. Now they can just pop it out for a couple of days and it's fine, right?
But also too, the way we seem to celebrate holidays, like the heart themed stuff, like every holiday is now being celebrated like 2-3 months in advance. Like the
True.
Easter stuff's already out.
True.
You know what I mean? Like next to the heart shaped Reese's peanut butter cups are the Cadbury eggs. It's like, wait a minute, like not now.
So they just stumbled upon as a candy industry that we will buy candy themed or holiday themed candy for weeks on end.
I think so. I mean, whether it's Thanksgiving, the Christmas time, I mean, all the holiday theme stuff, color wise, however each brand decides to do it. I mean, it seems to be rolling out earlier and earlier.
Do you like the Valentine's candies, the little chalky Be Mine?
The hearts?
Candy? Yeah.
I think they taste kind of like Tums.
Okay.
You know, they may actually help with indigestion too. I don't know. But yeah, I saw those in the store yesterday and you walk by them. Or where was I? There was like a jar of them out. I was like, oh, you walk by, you're like, but then yeah, everybody's got their hands in those. So
a milk chocolate heart, would you be into that? Big brick of milk chocolate?
Dark chocolate.
Has to be dark, milk.
I lean towards the dark chocolate.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, why not?
Okay.
But they get bigger and bigger
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like life size.
Yeah, I know. Huh. Okay.
What the little, now it's not just, you know, there's the Dove squares, now they come in heart-shaped, Hershey Kisses, that's all, you know. All you think about it, you talk about brands, you know, saving money and how they churn out candy. All you have to do if you're Hershey Kisses, let's go from the silver wrapping to the red wrapping.
Yep.
Put some little hearts on that little string at the top and boom, you got yourself a new flavored
candy.
And
you can save the red ones from Christmas when they have the red and greens.
Exactly. You go to the M&M store here in Manhattan, you just go right to the red and pink section of the M&Ms and just pull that lever down and fill up a couple bags. Next thing you know, you got your holiday theme. You go green and red, you got Christmas.
It's all a whole racket.
I mean.
Before I let you go, what did you think the last 2 days of the producers fighting back on Mraz? We had Anthony Pierno on Tuesday and then Mike Samter on Wednesday.
They needed a platform. I mean, he kind of did it just offhanded, like, yeah, overrated, like not thinking that, like, well, wait a minute. Like, he's going away for a week, and now you're giving these guys the platform to defend themselves.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Mraz kind of just rolls through here like the Tasmanian devil, just throwing shots left and right like Yosemite Sam, you know, and just thinks that, like, well, wait a minute, you know, I'm bulletproof. Like, no.
That's not how it works.
They need that. They've have that chance now to defend themselves. You know what I mean? Like a Biseglia or a Samter who's, like, might come in after Mraz is gone. Like, he comes in and finds out, wait a minute, I heard, you know, all this stuff about
Both Pierno and Samter went off pretty good. They must have had that building. I think there's a lot of guys that have been sitting on some stuff for a while.
Pierno, for sure. I mean, sure. Pierno, a ticking time bomb. You know, I mean, he needed that release. He walked out the doors here of our Entercom building, it was just like a weight lifted off his chest.
And they both made very good points.
Right, and that's the thing. They're not wrong.
No, they're not wrong.
You know, and we know Mraz is listening. And I wonder, like, if even on some level deep down, he's like, yeah.
Does he have the self-awareness to realize that, well, yeah, they do make some good points?
I think on some level, everybody has self-awareness. It's just a matter of, are they aware of their self-awareness, or are they just putting up a total front, you know, putting up those, like, tinted glasses and just like, nope.
And if they're lying through it, like, they're just going to, they're never going to admit that they realize.
And, you know, if you believe a lie, you know, you believe it long enough, you know, is it really, it ends up being true. You know what I mean?
Right. What's the Seinfeld saying? It's not a lie if you believe it.
Right. Exactly.
All right. Well, good to have you aboard the new morning mothership.
Yeah. Good to be. And it's good to see you because this is my schedule every day. Yeah. It's been that way for, believe it or not, 9 years. Yeah. So, and this was your schedule back in the day.
Yes.
In another lifetime. So it's good to see you back. You know, the bags are starting to slowly form under your eyes. I can recommend some facial
concealer,
products,
perhaps.
Some concealer and some herbs and things.
I'll need all of that.
Yeah, we'll give it a, couple months.
Subscribe to the PGP by, as we always say, going to its own iTunes feed or the normal Apple Podcast feed of the DA Show. Until next week, the Permission Granted Podcast Disconnect.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.